David Barbee is an unmistakable name in the Athens music scene. He runs the famed Chase Park Transduction Recording Studio and has produced albums for Drive-By Truckers, Deer Hunter, New Madrid, and many others. As a performer, Barbee played bass for the band Sugar and made a name with his solo projects. And now he's releasing his third solo album called Tenth of Seas. My colleague Celeste Headley caught up with David Barbee last week.
So you have been such a prolific collaborator in the past, and yet on this album you chose to play all the instruments yourself. Why?
Celeste, I got into recording because I wrote songs when I was a kid. I've always written songs. And I had a four-track, originally a reel-to-reel four-track, and then by the time I was a little older, teenager, a four-track cassette machine that I would play everything on myself, and that was just my way of conveying my songs, which led to me playing in bands, and I had a way to teach people the songs. And it also led to me producing records. It all started with me making these four-track recordings of me playing everything initially in my parents' basement and then just wherever else, band practice space, you know, bedroom, whatever, over the years. And I have always made demos of songs with every band I've ever played with. Did it with Mercyland, did it with Sugar, did it with the Quick Hooks. And on this most recent batch of songs, I would teach various people the songs, and it would be better in some ways, but it would lose something in others. And so I kept going back to these demos and realized that there was some odd thing about it that I kind of liked. And I also really liked the immediacy of it, the conveyance of emotion of recording something in some cases, moments after the idea hits you, and trying to get it as close to the source of inspiration as possible. I played demos of songs for a couple of friends who I play music with, a couple of the Quick Hooks guys, Frank McDonald and John Mills, and they had both had asked, well, who's playing the drums on that? And I said, well, I am. And Frank said, you should just record it like that. And I started thinking about it and realized, I think I'm just going to do it. So one thing led to the other, and so I just kind of made this record of me as close to the point of inspiration as I could get it.
Although you ended up with a lot more than four tracks, it sounds like.
This is not done on the four-track cassette. I did this on analog tape, though, which is a very important distinction, not to be an analog purist or a snob or anything. But I did it because it's not as easy to fix things on analog tape as it is on a computer. The amazing powers of Pro Tools or any digital audio workstation, and they are amazing, provide us great creative pathways, but also a lot of creative crutches where you can make things that aren't in tune, in tune. You can make things that aren't in time, in time. You can fix things, but you can also like rub the feel and rub human emotion out of things. So by doing it all on tape, I really couldn't use my years of studio wizardry to fix things. I basically, and especially with me running back and forth in the studio to the control room, I pretty much had to play everything on there is pretty much an end-to-end performance. As for the four-track, no, it is on 2-inch 16-track, which is my favorite of all the analog tape formats. And but on some of the songs on the album, there really are only like 6 or 7 takes. Like I will use like 2 or 3 mics on the drums. Mm. And it's there's some songs where the vocal and the guitar is just one mic in front of me, and I've just kind of got to, again, like I was a kid, I've just kind of got to either play the guitar harder or sing a little louder or you know, just basically make a human adjustment as a mix adjustment.
Well, let's actually hear some music here. This is the first single from the album. It's called Portuguese Door. So this way that you have recorded the album, how does that then affect a live performance?
I've always looked at live performances and records as two different expressive mediums. So for the live performances, what I'm doing, I'm not a one-man band. I'm not playing everything myself live like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins. I have enlisted my friends New Madrid, with whom I have produced four albums so far. The way all this came together, I'm kind of jumping around here a little bit, but the way this came together is I was playing with their drummer one night when I was in the middle of working on this and just showing him the new songs. And Alex Woolley said, "These songs are great. I love playing this. I think the other guys would be into doing this too." And it took about 5 minutes, and I formulated this idea of, what if we did a tour where you guys are my band and we open for New Madrid? Or in some cities, it wound up where New Madrid opened for David Barbie and Inward Dream Up. And he said, "I love it. I think they would too." We talked about it the next day. And within about 3 days, I'd worked out my record deal with Orange Twin and talked to their agent, Jesse Rossoff with United Talent in New York, about booking the tour. And there we go. And about 2 weeks later, I had a finished record and went to New York and mastered it, because I had to get it done if we're actually going to do this tour this summer. So live, yeah, it is me backed by New Madrid. And those guys really know the songs. We just got back from a two-week run up to New York and back, and they've really got the feel of this down. And there's some things, some of Ben Hackett's bass lines are note for note what I did, but kind of his own take on it, just, you know, as far as the feel goes. But it's as close as I would want it to be. But it kind of, having different people play it makes it kind of a new game every night, which is cool for me.
Let's hear another song. The album's called Comet of the Season. This song is called You're Out. Blast away all the cynicism, all the paranoia and doubt, all your invasions of self-pity. That song is from your album called Comet of the Season, and it's called You're Out. So one of the things that you do, and that's not just on this song, but the playing sometimes with rhythm and getting both playful with it. I wonder, when you're writing tunes, how much you innovate and go for surprise, and how much you go for a hook.
That's a great question. I try, and I pretty much follow my muse 100% of the time when it comes to songwriting.
You don't strategize it?
No. There are songwriters that I've worked with, amazing songwriters, who are true craftsmen. That is, they're methodical. They have a pattern in which they write things. It's thought out. This time signature goes here, et cetera, et cetera. And then I've worked with other people who are complete fits of inspiration, and I pretty much fall into the latter category, and have for a long time. When I was younger, I wrote songs in a more standard way, where I was aware of verse, chorus, time signature, etc. But over time, I get an idea for a song. I'm hardly the only person that does it this way, where it's almost like I just hear it in my head. Sometimes it's like a complete thing, and I try and get it out either on a piece of paper or into some sort of recording, whether that could be like in my phone. Again, as close to this point of inspiration as I can, and I do a lot better. I get results that are more satisfying to me when I am more feeling and less thinking. So I try and follow the muse and stay in the fits of inspiration as much as possible.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Athens musician and producer David Barbie. His new album is called Tenth of Seas. So I wonder, you know, because look, it takes a unique person to be successful as both a solo musician and someone who plays in bands and is a producer. That requires someone who can really work well with very different personalities. And I wonder what you learned from your parents about that. Having to learn work with big bands would also require you to play well with the team.
My parents were big band musicians. My mom was a singer and an actress. My dad played baritone, sax, and clarinet. It was a composer and musical arranger, and was also the tour manager at times of his career for the bands he was playing in. It's not like it was today where there's an independent tour manager. It was just one of the band members typically was just, you'll make a couple of extra bucks, but somebody's got to arrange the hotels and the itineraries, et cetera. So, yes, working with all these different people in all these different ways does absolutely require an ability to work with all kinds of people. And for me, I think that comes pretty easily because I like all kinds of people. I find the differences in people to be fascinating and to be rewarding. And if we were all the same kind of music, the same personalities, even in terms of things that can be troublesome in some ways, just like a more mercurial personality is interesting. You know, it takes all kinds, variety is the spice of life. As far as my parents go, I did learn probably quite a bit just sitting around the dinner table every night, because as most nights my parents were coming home from a studio or maybe a musicians union board meeting, or it could have been a concert somewhere. My mom could have had a voiceover gig or something. So my life was filled with creative personalities, stories about those people and just what went on during the day. And you know, the best advice I ever got from anybody was from my dad, who had told me as a young man to never give myself anything to fall back on, because you'd fall back on it. And that instead I should just do what I loved in life, and if that didn't work out, I'd have to figure out something else. So I have pursued that, and so when that is working in the studio, that's what I'm doing. And if it is working with students at UGA, that's what I'm doing. And if it is traveling around the country in a van and playing music with a band, that's what I'm doing. And if it's writing songs, that's certainly what I'm doing. Is that I'm pretty open to change. I'm pretty open to learning. Try to be, at least. Hope so. And am pretty flexible.
So let's actually hear a little bit from the band Sugar. This song is called If I Can't Change Your Mind. Know when you're writing a song whether it's best best used on a solo album or on an album with a band, or maybe best played by someone else?
I usually have a pretty good feel when I'm writing songs where I think it goes. For me, most of my career, my own musical output has been either I am in a band, I am working solo. But the 90s, the Sugar days, definitely was an era of three distinct possibilities of output for me. One was songs that would wind up on Sugar Records. Two would be songs that I might play with Buzz Hungry, who was an Athens band I was playing with at the time. And third would be other people covering my songs. At one point, I had songs on a recently released Sugar album, songs on a Buzz Hungry album, and a song on a Katie Lang album all happened right at the same time, which was pretty cool. As far as KD goes, there was a version of that song on Comet of the Season and on her album, Drag. And sometimes somebody else doing the song, it's something I have never pursued. It's usually something where somebody's come to me. In the case of Katie Lang, Eddie Gomez, that what used to be known as Bug Music, it's now part of BMG Chrysalis, approached me and said she's got a new album, she's looking for songs, and I think that she's looking for something like this, and I think that you could write it and would be perfect. And it was the weirdest thing where I told him, it's like, man, I have like two lines I wrote about two nights ago that I think are exactly what you're talking about. Let me see if I can finish this thing up and send it your way and see what we got. And I did, and he liked it, and she dug it and put it on a record, and there you go.
And what song was that?
It was on her album. It is known as Your Smokescreen. On Comet of the Season, it's known as Medicine Takeover, but it's the same song.
So this with this new solo album and touring it live, is this a one-off? I mean, are you gonna? Do you feel like this is a style for you in terms of doing solo albums where you record everything yourself and then it changes however it might change when someone else plays it live?
So far, so good. I mean, quite possibly. I see two avenues for my own songwriting for the next couple of years. One is that, yeah, I really did love the experience of doing this. I loved capturing the immediacy of it. There's none of it I listen to that I regret. I favor things that, again, are like, and it's funny, in life, of course, I'm a chronic overthinker, just like a lot of people are. But when it comes to making music, I do greatly value the moment of inspiration. But doing the last 2 weeks of shows with New Madrid, now I'm considering the idea, I'm mulling over how can we make a record together in this configuration. So I'm just hoping to continue moving forwards. Forwards is always the more interesting direction for me rather than looking back. So hopefully I'll just keep on moving forwards and changing. And as far as making another record like this goes, quite likely, because I enjoyed it and I'm so far pretty happy with the results.
David Barbecue's album is called Tenth of Seas. David, thank you so much.
Celeste, thanks for having me.
David Barbie will perform at the 41 in Athens this Friday at 9 p.m. and also at 529 in Atlanta this Saturday at 9.
Used to live by